and sing along. Yeah. Rapping so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good evening, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
Live and alive. And it's been a while since we recorded. Lots been going on in our world, work-wise, life-wise, and just, you know, all that stuff. Big Roop, I'll just ask quickly, how are you doing? How have you been since this hiatus that we've taken?
Doing fine. Day to day, you know, trying to make everything happen. Trying to stay safe out here, you know, but I'm doing fine. Can't complain.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I get you, man. I think same for me, just taking the day in and the day out and, you know, just thankful. Like I said, keep your head down and do what you can. But just being safe out here because there's a lot going on in this world. And, you know, so we're safe and hopefully everyone else is. Hopefully everyone who hears this is in a good space and we'll take in what we say today. Again, it's been a while since we've been with our listeners, but we are back. And today's episode is Equity Now. And yes, so Big Roop, Equity Now. What's one of the biggest topics that has been going around the sports world? Because there's a lot going around everywhere. We decided we were going to focus on sports today and just kind of keep it lighter, but still serious.
Well, it's a big, the big topic in sports, at least in the NFL, is the lack of NFL African-American or minority head coaches.
Gotcha. And the funny thing, is it a big topic or did something bring it to the surface recently? Because the funny thing is, I don't know if during the last season, what is it, 2021, 2022 season, if that was a big topic, if it was really kind of talked about. It was more something that happened after the season or if the season was winding down, the postseason, and a situation that arose from that that kind of brought it back to the center. Or was it something that was born? Were there other conversations about it?
There were other conversations about it. I know from the previous offseason, I don't think any minorities were hired, and it was breached upon at that point. It might not have been front and center, but it definitely was mentioned. But I think, you know, that we lost a couple of more African-American coaches after this season, and, you know, I think we're down to one now, which is totally, you know, seems to be totally ridiculous in a league that's 75% Black or, you know, minority.
Okay, well, I think it's good that you did take it back to the previous offseason because that probably gives a good context for the conversation. And specifically what just happened most recently is that Brian Flores was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. He was fired. And then he did make some statements post-firing in regards to another situation he was in as far as a potential hiring. And again, like I said, I think that's what brought to the front and center this postseason. But again, you're saying even going back to the last postseason. So let's do that. Let's go back to the last postseason before we dive into the Brian Flores situation. So what was the general talk during the last postseason as far as no minority head coaches being hired?
Well, that's the general talk was that there was a slew of qualified candidates, and it seemed that none of them were getting these jobs. And that particular offseason, I believe the Giants hired Joe Judge, who was pretty much not on anyone's radar for a head coaching job. It's one thing if you're, you know, a Shanahan or Josh McDaniels that, you know, you're seen as the next hot guy to get a job because everybody's like, oh, I want to get this guy. But when you hire somebody with no previous coaching experience, you know, head coaching experience, and not a proven track record, and he's not even a coordinator, and people are like, where? Who? That's what, you know, kind of, you know, people were shaking their head like, what's going on? You know, but the Giants said, oh, no, we vetted this guy, and we think he's the guy for us.
Right. But wasn't that 2 years ago? Because didn't he have a two-year tenure with the Giants?
It could be. I mean, to be honest with you, the conversation has been going on for like the last, I'd say, 2 to 3 years, definitely. And this hasn't really, there was nothing that brought it to the forefront, except for this year, obviously, with the lawsuit, that's made it like front page news.
Okay. Okay. Well, again, I think that's good context for our listeners, because I think the truth is, sometimes things aren't front and center, but like you said, there are conversations. There's an awareness of the problem, and then it just kind of keeps boiling until it finally boils over. So I guess based on that, this is the year that it boils over again. And that goes back to the lawsuit you just mentioned with Brian Flores. So could you just kind of give some background on that for our listeners who probably know, but, you know, just to kind of bring it into the current conversation of like equity now?
Well, basically, Brian Flores took over the Miami Dolphins. I believe that the year he first it took them over, the previous year they were 1-15 or 2-14, but I think it was 1-15. And he was able to, that first year, I think, get to the 7-9, which is a good move forward. A lot of times, you know, you might win two or three additional games. To go to 7-9 and miss like the playoffs by one game was a big move. And I think the second year, I think he had them over 500 and again in the playoff hunt. What he alleged is that he was trying to do things to obviously move the team forward and get them to win. And he alleged that the Miami Dolphins, this is part of the lawsuit, I think it's two parts to it, but they were basically trying to incentivize him to lose games to get better draft picks.
Gotcha. I definitely heard that as well. And that in and of itself, like you said, that's part of the lawsuit. That in and of itself is a bombshell, because, I mean, that just shows, I guess, some organizational mismanagement, some questionable tactics, because the truth of the matter is, you know, we've talked about it before. I mean, there was a whole tanking for Tua situation. And, you know, there are times when teams strategically don't do everything they can to win in hopes of getting a higher draft pick. It's another thing, I believe, when an owner directly tells a head coach to lose, right? I mean, that's almost tantamount to throwing games, which also could impact with the gambling process, which is not such a big part of sports, where, you know, if you're losing on purpose and people are betting on it, not to make it about that, but it's just, it's one thing when strategically you're not trying hard to win, it's another thing when you're trying to lose.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet, and me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen it in other sports as well. You just don't try to win. You're not saying trying to lose, but you don't put your best team forward. But if you're actually trying to throw the game and, you know, you're doing everything possible to lose, that goes to the integrity of the actual game.
Exactly. So that's part of his lawsuit. And what was the other part of his lawsuit?
I believe that he interviewed for the Giants job because they finally got rid of Joe Judge. That was a big mistake. They won't admit it was a mistake, but judging on the record and whatever, it definitely wasn't the right move. So anyway, the Giants decided they were going to hire another person named Brian. And I think Coach Belichick of the New England Patriots, Mr. Six-time Super Bowl champion coach, I guess Mitch sent a message to Mr. Flores saying congratulations, because he, I guess, was made aware of who was getting the job, but he thought it was the wrong. He got the wrong person. He actually texted the wrong person, and, you know, I had to retract it and tell him that I'm sorry, you know, I texted the wrong person, which means that he knew who was getting the job before the person who actually got the job.
Right. Which speaks of some other questionable practice in NFL, because, again, there's always this idea that it's a closed network, an old boys network, and those who are in the know, and those who don't. And this suggests that, right, that someone who had no structural ties organization seemed to know what was going on. So it just gives that impression that, we know what we're doing and we're working together to do it, and congratulations. Oh, wrong person, right? So even though the NFL and the Giants are trying to walk that back, I mean, I guess there's room for investigation there. Like, why would a coach of another team have any awareness of anybody? Why is he getting any Brian wrong, right? And you're not supposed to know. You don't work here. You know, so where there's smoke, there tends to be fire. So those are the two elements of his lawsuit.
Yeah, that is definitely the two of the elements of his lawsuit. And, you know, what's distressing to a lot of the fans like us that watch the game is that you see a lot of qualified candidates that you think should get a shot who aren't getting a shot.
Yeah, I think that's a big problem, right? And I think you mentioned also that, like you said, there's a large percentage of players who are minorities in the league. And I think that's something to kind of question or to bring into the conversation, because I'm curious, what is there any chatter among the players as far as this particular lawsuit or the larger situation? Like, in other words, are the players bothered by it? Do they not speak out on it? And because the fans are one thing, right? We have our own opinions of certain things. But one of our first episodes, one of our early episodes, I believe it was number two, was the Rooney Rule, right? So there was a rule that's long been instituted in NFL that's supposed to address this. And based on the numbers that they stand right now, the Rooney Rule is not addressing this, right? So I guess what's the players' kind of stance and what's just the overall tone before the Brian Flores case and now because of the Brian Flores case?
Well, number one, the Rooney Rule was put in place because before the Rooney Rule, you might not have any African-Americans or any minorities getting an interview, never mind a job. So it was the NFL realized that this was a problem and they tried to address it. But unfortunately, it seems that that rule is just window dressing. We'll meet the criteria of interviewing at least one minority. But, you know, if we know who we're going to hire, we're still going to hire, you know, the person that we want. I think the players themselves really need to look in the mirror. And I have not heard of them demanding, a certain player, a certain coach to be hired, or they want them on the staff. You know, I think that would go a long way to getting it done. If they were to go to management, we want you to hire X, Y, and Z, or I'm not going to sign here, or I'm not going to re-sign. That might put more pressure than, like, the fan base.
Exactly. That's a really good point you made. That's why I try to separate the fan base, right? Because, let's just be honest, how many people run an organization with the input of their neighbors, right? You might run it with the input of your customers. So if fans were not going to support the NFL for certain reasons, then they would probably get the attention of owners and management. But just saying, I don't like what you're doing, well, if you keep buying my tickets, I don't really care, right? So that's why you kind of push that to the side, because fans have their own opinion. But you're right, you made a good point. If I'm a top quarterback or high-end player and I speak out, right, that carries more weight. And like you said, all right, if I'm on the contract, maybe there's nothing I can do. But when I'm up to signing a new contract and I'm looking for a team, I may look for a home that, you know, has the values, right, that I want, in addition to the money that I want.
I agree. I think that if you're a player of Aaron Donald, Lamar Jackson, you know, these are top tier players, and they were to say, you know, I may not resign with you if you don't bring in a coach that looks like me. You don't have to be a particular coach. You might just say that, you know, I think I want to play for Eric Bieniemy. I want to play for this coach or that coach because I think it's going to give me a better chance to perform. I've seen other players do that, do those type of things all the time. It seems that we as minorities don't seem to push the envelope as far as that goes.
All right. Do you have an example of other players and not in other sports? Because we know there are other sports where players have a bit more of a public persona. I think in the NFL, players tend to be more employees. But do you have an example?
Yeah, I was going to say, if I remember right, when the Packers hired their coach, I think Aaron Rodgers was very vocal as to who he wanted or who he didn't want. You know, gotcha. He had some difference or influence. And I'm not saying that you're going to say command, but sometimes the quarterback or some of the star players give their blessing, oh, this is going to be a good hire, as opposed to you just hire whoever you want and you guys got to live with it.
Gotcha. And no, that's a wonderful example. You're right. I wasn't thinking of Aaron Rodgers per se, because I think the slippery slope now is when, like you said, I want a coach who looks like me, right? Because one, obviously, it's not right for players to dictate the terms of their employment or the nature of their employment, right? They have a say in it, but the biggest say is, I don't have to work for you. I can just go someplace else, right? So it's really for you to make me happy in a certain way. But more importantly, it's for you to be successful, productive, right? If I'm on a team that's going nowhere, it's logical for me to want to go someplace else or to want someone's going to come here to give us a better chance of winning, right? If I make it like I want somebody who looks like me, that takes the conversation in some different ways. And not that it's wrong. I'm not even saying that, hey, you know what? I mean, if I'm an Asian American, maybe I want the first Asian American head coach to coach our team, right? That's not a a reckless thought. But then if we go, 0-40 over the next, in four seasons, then it doesn't look like smart. Whereas if there's someone, like you said, with a track record of success and, why aren't we considering this person? And yeah, he's Asian. I would love him to be here for that reason. But he's good. He's proven himself. You know what I mean? So I think to your point, yes, players can use their leverage to try to, bring about some of the changes.
Tired of the same rap songs. Uh-huh. Every new hit should sing along. Yeah. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Yeah, I think that's one factor that definitely they have not explored. I think another thing that we need to look at is usually when a minority gets a job, it's usually from a team that's been low performing over several years till they get the job. But normally when you get the job, you're getting a job of a team that is not very well staffed as far as good players. You might be able to change the structure, but number one, a lot of times you're not given enough time because it might take you 3 years to change the culture, to put people in place to become successful. And if they give you 2 years and you're just turning it around and all of a sudden you're let go, number one, you might never get another job because your record probably for those first 2 years is not going to be very impressive because you were busy getting draft picks and nurturing new people. So I think that also has to be taken into account because not only are we not getting the first time job, a lot of times we don't get repeat jobs. Like if you are a coach and you had somewhat success, are you getting another chance down the road to coach another team?
Well, no, those are all factors. And I think the thing is we can find like a million reasons why we're not reflected, right? I think we have to find the key reasons why we're not reflected and then also find the key solutions and target it because there's so many reasons why. So, I mean, the simplest factor is that there's no Black owners, right? And as they said, people tend to hire and circulate among people that they deal with. So quite frankly, if we're always outside, as you mentioned before, without the Rooney Rule, we wouldn't even be getting interviews, right? So clearly there has to be structural changes and policies put in place that mandate it because it's not happening organically, right? Like it should happen organically, but it's not. So at the end of the day, there does need to be structural changes saying you have to interview X number of people that meet this criteria to even be considered. I guess now what really needs to happen, there needs to be more teeth to that because let's say that was the first step in experiment. It hasn't worked, right? Brian Flores, I believe, was the only starting head coach last year, the only employed head coach last year, and he lost his job.
Yeah, so well, him and Tomlin.
You're right. So yeah, that's true. I forgot at Pittsburgh. Funny, the Rooney Rule, home of the Rooney Rule. But no, but there's something to be said about that, right? Because one thing you can say about the Pittsburgh Steelers when it comes to that situation, they seem to put their money where their mouth is. One, because they fired a great coach. They found a great coach, right? Not a good coach. His numbers are excellent, right? The Steelers are always competitive. This might be the end of, not might be, this is the end of Big Ben's career, but they're still a relevant team, right? So it's not just, let's get a Black coach. No, we found a good quality Black coach and his career has shown that. So I think that's a good example. I forgot about him.
No, he's been there so long and been successful that I guess he's just seen as part of the fabric. But not. No, I totally understand. I could see you forgetting him because he's been there for a while.
Right. So going back to equity now, we did some research before, and I forgot how far back, but there was a point when there was as many as 8 Black head coaches in the NFL. Is that correct?
Yes. I don't remember the year, but I remember it was 8. And since then, it's been just going decreasing year by year.
Right. So I think based on that, and again, for our listeners, today's episode is Equity Now. So the Brian Flores case shows how there isn't equity in the NFL, right? Because we're not saying what the number of head coaches should be, but the fact that it's dwindled to one, and then when you take the details of his case where people are floating rumors around before he even has his interview, right? Because apparently I think that's what kind of threw him off. Belichick texted him before I believe he had his interview or something to that effect. So it was like, how are you congratulating me? They didn't even meet with me yet or something to that effect, right? So one, you're not part of the organization, but two, the process didn't even work itself through, but the process isn't fair, right? If you know something that I don't, then the process isn't fair, right? Because I'm the one going for the job. How can you know more than me? So I think his case kind of highlighted some of what was wrong. But like you said, how did we go from eight head coaches to one? Like, I guess statistically, that's not really possible without some type of abnormal intervention.
Yeah, abnormal intervention, or some of the ones that were considered to be very good candidates retired or went to do some other things, like Tony Dungy's now on TV. Unfortunately, Dennis Green passed on. I'm just saying names I'm thinking of that were coaches and aren't doing it anymore. And I guess they didn't have a lot of coaches that were promoted to be the next head coach. They're still coordinators.
Right, and to that point you just made, that's what I was just going to comment on, because I thought part of the Rooney Rule was that every year there was supposed to be a certain level of movement and attraction. In other words, it wasn't that we had a hiring spurt and that's it, done. I thought it was supposed to be a yearly assessment. Not yearly, but periodically as you're going through the hiring process, you have to follow these steps, right? And again, the steps maybe aren't as strict as they could be, like you have to hire somebody, but you have to interview. So I guess what I'm saying, you're right, as some of the people pass on or retire, and there's other head coaches, I mean, other assistant coaches, coordinators, like you said, it seemed that it would have been a natural flow, right? Not that you're definitely going to get a job, and you are, but just because you're such a percentage of the hiring pool and these practices are already in place, so you're naturally segmented in. So we know that hasn't happened, but I mean, is that how it was supposed to work?
Yeah, that's how it was supposed to work. Basically, I remember, when it was implemented, the thought was also to start hiring coaches as coordinators and assistants to get enough people into the field that you had a big group to pick from. Exactly. And we actually do, seems that we do have a lot of qualified, not a lot, but we have a good number of candidates that are assistants and coordinators in the field, but they haven't been elevated to the next position.
Exactly. So going back to Equity Now, whatever progress, I guess, was being made, because I think if you go back to the beginning of the Rooney Rule, to the amount of minority head coaches, to the amount of minority general managers, because it applies to upper management as well, and to the majority of assistant coaches, I'm pretty sure, I don't have any proof in front of me, but I'm pretty sure the numbers reflected that kind of influx, right? Now that we have to start looking on these following these metrics, right? The numbers are just starting to grow. What happened is they stalemated someplace, right? Like you said, there's a lot of coordinators and that's all they're doing. And I think that's where the teeth can come in now. We do have people in the pipeline, but for some reason, pipeline is locked. And why is it locked?
It's like there's a glass ceiling or it's plateaued and they can't break through.
Exactly. And the reason why I'm saying that is now, instead of saying fans aren't going to do this and players, I demand this or whatever, right? The system was already kind of created to address this problem. And it seemed that it's addressing it to a point. But like you said, then there's a lid. And again, maybe that's not accurate, but that's what it seems like. So it doesn't have to be Lamar Jackson saying, I'm not going to re-sign with Baltimore if you don't hire a minority coach. It seems that why are all these assistant coaches not being taken seriously? Why are they not really being added to the pool when that's what the Rooney Rule is for and their success is supposed to be part of their elevation?
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
That's the question the NFL has to answer.
That is.
I think that they, they've put their credentials forward. They've done what they, you know, were asked to do. And then it's like, all right, we see you, but we don't give you that chance.
Exactly. And I think taking that point now and continue along with Equity Now, I know maybe a month ago, around the time of the Super Bowl leave, I believe, or right afterwards, I think it was around that time. No, I think it was before the Super Bowl, actually. Commissioner Roger Goodell addressed the issue and said that we have a serious problem and, you know, things of that nature. I think what bothered me about it is he almost seemed as helpless as everybody else. Like, man, if only there was something we could do. And I think even our conversation tonight says you have something you can do, right? You can just reinforce and reapply it or improve it. But the Rooney Rule was created because of this problem, right? It's not an unknown problem. And you have something that's working, but not working well enough. So to your point now, the NFL, you know, we have this problem identified. But when the commissioner is like, if only there was something we could do, this is a really big problem, right? It doesn't feel very reassuring that I got my hand on. It's almost like if he's waiting for somebody else and some magical third party to help.
Yeah, I think the league standpoint from the league office is trying not to dictate who you're going to hire, but at the same token needs to encourage that there's diversity in the hiring process. And it's really is incumbent upon the owners to see that there's a problem. I mean, what do you do? Can you force them to hire minorities? I don't know.
I agree with you. I agree. And the answer might be maybe, right? Because based on whatever data comes out, the Rooney Rule from its inception to now, assuming they're doing that research, and then based on the nature of this lawsuit, because, yeah, Brian Flores' lawsuit is about himself, but it does indicate a bigger problem. And as much as the Giants want to say Bill Belichick doesn't speak for us, right, there does need to be an investigation why someone who does not work in your organization seems to have inside information what's going on in your organization. There's a reason why you can't do that in the stock market, right? Because there are laws against inside information. We know people still do it. You just can't get caught, right? So the thing with the NFL, we don't know if people are doing it or not, but you can't ignore the fact that a head coach, a major head coach of another team, is commenting on the supposed secret knowledge of this organization, right? You can't ignore that. Now, maybe it was a one-off, or I think it's probably just the way things are done, right? Certain people know what's going on.
Well, I think just that certain people know what's going on. You also have to remember he has ties to the Giants. That's where he did coach before he became a coach with New England. He was their assistant for a long time, and the ownership doesn't know him, so they may have asked him for his opinion. So it's possible that, you know, the same way that someone calls you about your ex-employee, should we hire him, you would know if you think he might be a good candidate.
That's true, and you're right. You can take different factors. But I think going back to what can the NFL do or what needs to happen, right, I think you cannot at this point mandate owners, but you can certainly identify when they're not doing it, right? Because no one, I think, has really criticized, like you said, the Giants for the hiring of Joe Judge when there was so many indicators that it made no logical sense. And by that, I mean, there was no metrics to what they did that really made sense, right? We just think he's our guy. And again, I mean, you can't really go against someone's opinion, except you can look at the failings of the team under him and say, well, we all figured that was going to happen, right? Based on his performance prior to that, based on his kind of track record, right?
Yeah, his experience, his expertise, or lack of.
Right, right. So the Giants are saying, yeah, that's all true and well, but we don't have to listen to that, right? We can just go to our gut instinct. It kind of does gut out the Rooney Rule, right? Yeah, we can sit down wherever we want, but we don't have to try to win. So I think part of it is either shaming teams or identifying that maybe like Miami, some teams are trying to lose, right? Because sometimes you look at some of the decision-making process and you're like, you don't seem like you're trying to win. And on the outside, it's counterintuitive to think that any team would want to lose on purpose, right? But then part of his lawsuit is that his employer, the owner of an NFL team, came to him, the head coach, with instructions to lose. Now, assuming that's true, that can't be ignored because that goes, like you said, to the ethics of the game, the integrity of the game, and possibly the integrity of the hiring process. If you want coach to lose, I'll find somebody who will. right? Bill, do you know somebody I can get on the golf course who'll do whatever I say? So again, you're right. I don't know what the answers are, but I don't think we can just ignore like the process is working.
Tired of the same rap songs. Uh-huh. Every new hit should sing along. Yeah. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Yeah, no, we have to agree. Well, no, we don't have to agree, but it's kind of obvious to me that the process is not working.
Exactly.
If you truly want more participation of minorities.
Exactly.
If you don't, then it's working perfectly.
Exactly. And we can go right outside of football really quick to just show an example of it, right? Like right now, President Biden just nominated the first black woman for nomination to the Supreme Court. And the reason why that's significant is he's gotten a lot of pushback for it, right? A lot of people said, oh, it shouldn't be based on race or anything of that nature. Taking the historical legacy of it, we're 220 some odd years old and we still haven't had a black woman to the Supreme Court. Right. And it's not because of credentials. So when he said, I'm going to find someone, the implication is she's going to be qualified. Right. I'm not just going to drive up and down the street and grab some lady like, yo, you want to be a Supreme Court. But that's where systemic racism kind of shows his head, because they're almost saying, can you really find a qualified Supreme Court, you know, black Supreme Court justice? And well, how about all the ones that are on other federal benches? Right. In other words, who've come up through the ranks, who've proven themselves, but have not been given the opportunity because they just won't be given an opportunity unless we mandate that opportunity. And that's what he did in his campaign. He mandated that I'm going to find someone qualified, but who missed his criteria, because if not, they're never going to get the job. Let's just be honest. They're never going to get it.
No, I agree 100%.
Yeah, so I guess, like you said, there's a lot going on. Like you said, it's been going on for a couple of seasons. And then this offseason, it just kind of boiled over with the Brian Flores situation. But I think as we move to our call to action stage, the NFL has some mechanisms. It needs to focus on them. It needs to focus on the fact that the Rooney Rule was created because there's a strong need for it, and it needs to be improved. It needs to be emphasized, and owners need to be, again, I don't know if you can force them, but I think that might be a possibility. All right. I think there might have to be a structural way of saying you have to hire from this set of people within this space, because if not, the Giants can always just hire somebody who's not even a coordinator, right? He's a special teams coach. He looks good to us. Based on what? He just looks good to us. Is it because he looks like you? We don't know. I'm not saying that's what it is, but his track record would suggest otherwise. So what are you making your decisions based on?
No, it's true. It's like you said, you're trying to lose on purpose. You know, we don't want to hire this person. And then you do hire the person that's not really qualified, and he's proven right by losing all the games. They didn't lose anything. They're not held accountable for that.
Exactly. So I think, you know, that's the problem. So, you know, we're not going to solve it all in one episode, but we definitely wanted to introduce it because prior to some of the other geopolitical events that have happened recently, it was big news because, you know, you like to think the NFL is moving forward, and then you realize when you look around the league, like you said, player-wise, it's moved forward, and coaching-wise, it hasn't, or head coaching-wise, general manager-wise. So I think that's why it became such a big topic. And it really was. It was trending a couple weeks back, but then other things have kind of overtaken it.
Yeah, eclipsed it.
Right. So I guess if we cover the main points, we can move to our call to action, because as always, we try to encourage our listeners to take in information and see what they can do. And of course, we don't own NFL teams, and you know, we're not really in the know in that sense. But you know, what do you think our listeners and can take away from the episode, and if anything they could do? And I mean anything, just any idea, like just to move the process forward.
Good question. Obviously, you can't say they really boycott, because number one, I don't think they'll be buying enough tickets, and I don't think there'll be enough of an economic impact on the team if we were to not support the team. I guess if there's any time you can voice your opinion, if the, you see a situation where the GM or ownership is going to be at a function that you might be going to, you can kind of voice your opinion or call them to like talk show, radio shows that, you know, do speak on these issues. But I don't know really what you can do as an individual, you know, except, you know, tune out, which may or may not hurt them as well.
Right, right, right. Very good point. Very good suggestion and very good point. You're right. This is a sphere that affects very limited amount of people. Even though we all watch, a lot of us watch, you know, the NFL, we don't have any real input on what it does or doesn't do, right? It's a small business. It's a nonprofit, air quotes, but that's how it functions. But I definitely like the points you make. I think taking some of your points, I think maybe boycotting in and of itself wouldn't work. But I think maybe we should pay more attention to teams that have the values we represent and support those teams. Like maybe, let's just say if every minority said, you know what, the Pittsburgh Steelers really honor the Rooney Rule. They helped to establish it and they really seem to live by it. I'm going to be a Steelers fan now. I'm going to buy Steelers equipment. And everywhere I go, I'm going to encourage other people to be Steelers fans. So maybe we almost do a reverse boycott. Instead of avoiding the things we don't like, maybe we support the things we do like. And maybe we support the Steelers. And if the Baltimore Ravens move in that direction, we support the Baltimore Ravens. And instead of blindly following teams that we've always liked, you know, maybe we support teams that actually seem to care about the issues going on.
No, that's a great, great point of view. You know, support teams that are putting the values that we, you know, like in the forefront and support them. That's a good point. I think that's something that we all can aspire to do.
Good, good. No, thank you. And again, I like your points and you can say your analysis, because this is one where there's not much we can do, right? I mean, we could always turn the TV off. And if we did it in large numbers, it may make impact, it may not. But I think, like you said, if that's not going to make impact, plus who doesn't want to not watch football if you're a fan, right? You know, why do we always have to be denied certain things? So maybe if we can just find things that are done right and encourage others to follow that and say, listen, you know, and maybe if suddenly the Steelers became the most valued franchise in the NFL, and because we know the Cowboys are on top, right? And I'm a Cowboy fan, so I'm guilty of that. But maybe if the Steelers, because they got so much positive attention on social media and everybody's got Steelers gear and rappers are wearing Steelers gear and everybody's saying, listen, this team represents us. At least they're trying. So we're going to represent them. Maybe that'll make a change.
Well, maybe it will. That's a very good point.
All right, good. So, you know, for our listeners, hopefully they got, you know, something good out of this episode. We wanted to stay sports-based because it was an important topic, but also we didn't want to jump into all the heaviness in the world because there's a lot going on right now. It's being talked about. So we want to have a balance. Sometimes we can just watch football and try to find some equity there.
Yep, we enjoy it. And it's the most popular sport in the country. So we felt it was something that we need to address.
Absolutely, absolutely. So again, the topic was equity now because, you know, there's no need to wait. The problem has been identified. The solutions are being brought about. It's just people have to actually use them and push others to do the same. So, you know, today's episode, Equity Now, I'm Sean P.
I'm Big Rube.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rappers so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.